Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Hey there, welcome back. You didn't leave. Good. I know that intro is a little long. In fact, Lisa and I were just talking about it while we're listening to it like you were, that we're going to have to clean that up a little bit. We're always looking to improve. All right, so last time I was with you, I had some things to share with you about some of my cautions or concerns about mixing friends, family, and your money. And I've written about this in my columns, but I want to stress it to you. There was a couple of things, examples I didn't get to that I would like to mention to you, that why you've got to be so careful mixing the friends and the family with your finances. And I gave you some examples. Here's a few more that I want to mention to you. And I've changed names to protect identities of everybody involved. Okay, I never mention anybody's real name. And I changed the facts enough so you can't figure out who it is. Isn't that good? Okay, so Bill and Renee have been clients of mine for many years. Renee wanted to invest $100,000 of their retirement money in their sons. This is both of their son. This is their son. Not one side or the other. Renee wanted to invest $100,000 in the son's new business. Bill was adamantly against it. Well, because of the disagreement, they ended a four-decade marriage because the son is yet to make any payments on the loan from mom. So you know what? You just got to be very careful when it comes to this and make sure you're real careful about, again, the friends and family and money. Next, here's another one. This one's really a great example. Because I knew she was conservative, I recommended low-risk investments and some fixed financial products for my client Sharon back in 2007. And her son, Alex, he has to be involved so he could review my recommendations. Now, despite any formal financial training, Alex disagreed with pretty much everything I recommended to his mother. That's his right, I suppose. And he's probably just looking to protect her, but he recommended she go into much more aggressive investments. Well, luckily for Sharon, she followed my advice, and during the period of time that Alex would have had her in very aggressive investments, I had recommended primarily safer investments, more secure, and she did much better with that than if she had taken so much more risk with the markets falling, of course, as everyone pretty well knows, 2008-2009. So that worked out good for Sharon. Then later, 5 years later, in fact, this was back in 2012, Sharon had another lump sum to invest. She had some money from retirement from work. And she said, what do? I again made some conservative choices. This time, it was kind of weird with Sharon. She hesitated. She was hard to get a hold of. It was odd. And so after a couple of months of this odd behavior, I finally figured out what was going on. Alex was back in the picture. This time, instead of wanting his mom to simply invest in more aggressive investments for her portfolio, he wanted her to invest in his new tow truck business. And so he had been pushing that for that money she had gotten. And Sharon didn't know how to handle the situation. After we talked some more about her preference for low risk, she had decided to invest only a small portion of her retirement money in Alex's business and kept the rest more secure. So obviously, good move there. Her hesitation was, obviously, she was torn between, you know, maybe wanting to be more conservative and then trying to help out family. That's very difficult. Last, I'll share you with one more example. Carol brought her daughter Megan to her first appointment to meet with me. And Carol was about to retire. She wanted advice on what to do with her money and how to get income from it. She needed that for her to supplement her retirement income. Megan, her daughter, was very interested in how I do planning for my clients. She was thinking of becoming a financial planner herself. In fact, she was in the process of getting licensed, taking the insurance and securities licenses. And so I saw a potential conflict here. And I said to Carol, I said, well, I have a question I need to ask you. Who will be handling your money once your daughter has completed her licensing and training? And without even a pause, Carol replied to me and said, everybody's got to start somewhere. Every financial advisor's got to start somewhere, but not with your life savings. Good for you, Carol. I couldn't agree more with that statement. Now, I'm not suggesting, as I said before, that you can't have a good working relationship with your advisor. I think that's a wonderful thing. It's also wonderful to have a trust relationship where you can trust that advisor to guide you and be more than a somebody who provides a product or simply a service. There are situations where I have agreed to be act as a trustee in the event that my client can no longer handle their affairs, and I'm honored to do that. But when you're working with your money, just be careful how you mingle or mix the relationships. All right, let me do this. I want to get to something else that's another important thing I want to share with you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, welcome back. So it's seminar season. It is time when financial advisors send out seminars to those who are already retired or about to retire. So you may see already in your mailbox filled up with invitations for free dinner, lunch, or whatever the case may be. Conveniently for me, I'm able to keep track of what's going on in my local area because my parents are in the target demographic. And so whenever I visit with them, my mom will hand me a big stack of seminar invitations she's received. And I've never, just for the record, never have asked them to go and waste anybody's money or time to go and attend to learn about what other advisors do. The invitations actually tell me everything I need to know about what my competitors are doing. So I want to caution you. What I'd like to talk about for a few minutes is just cautioning you about going to these seminars. Now, some people think that they are, consider them a complete joke and just go for the fun of getting a free meal, getting out of the house for a couple of hours and just messing with the advisor or the financial person, maybe asking tough questions. But some people take it as an opportunity to learn something about finances, which I think a seminar can be good for that. And I will tell you that, you know, for a while I did my share of seminars. I don't do them so much anymore. I've looked for other ways to communicate with clients and potential clients to tell them what I do, like what I do here on the radio program. But for a while, I did do a fair amount of them, and I enjoyed doing them. But there's been some changes, and there's, you know, I've had concerns along the way of things I see, and part of what's going on is for those people born between 1946 and 1964, the baby boomers, 10,000 of those people are retiring every day, and will be for the next 20 years. So that's a lot of folks, and they need help with their finances. And so there's certainly a lot of financial people that want to get in front of them. All right. So a seminar can be a good thing. I will say that. It can be a good thing for both the attendee, the person receiving the invitation who chooses to go, and also for the advisor, because you can, you know, the advisor can get in front of a lot of people and talk about things that they may be able to help the person with. And it's a good exchange. And I'm not beating it up as a way to communicate. However, it can be a bad thing if there's a situation where a salesperson is exaggerating what they're going to talk about in the seminar, and even worse, if they actually end up doing things they shouldn't in the seminar. The invitations themselves can include scare tactics. So if you see anything where basically the financial person is saying, come to the seminar, the world's going to end, you need to be here, yeah, I think you can pretty much throw that away. And I think that the other thing I want you to know is that there are some real games that go on. There's some real sleight of hand with the way some of these invitations are written. So be careful. Here's something else that's important for you to know. To get into financial services, to actually be able to conduct financial services, to put people into products or to advise them about their investments, The hurdle is actually pretty low. A couple months of study, you can have your insurance license or your securities license. Not hard to do. Now, because of that, if you get an invitation and you're actually looking for, you know, forget the other nonsense I talked about where you're just going to eat or to get out of the house, but if you're really interested in education, then I do continuing education myself. I go when I need to get education to maintain all my credentials. So I go to, for my CPA or my certified financial planner designation, I have to go to classes. Well, before I go, I look at who's going to do the presentation. I don't want it just to be anybody. I don't want just a credit. I want to get something out of it. Well, if you're going to do the same thing with a seminar, then look at the person and see what their qualifications and expertise is. Okay, first of all, it should be very easy when you look at an invitation to know who's going to present. And if it's difficult, then I think that's a question mark. If it's hard to find out who it is. Two, do they have any credentials? Which ones? Who are they affiliated with a financial firm? Which one? Go on the internet. Do some search, a little bit of searching around to find out who they are and what they're about. And again, if you do that and if you see anything that gives you pause, then I think you know, there are plenty of opportunities to get education in other places. Back to those seminar invitations. If you see anything, I call them misleading mantras. If you see anything on the invitation that just seems too good to be true or seems very scary, I think that's a big red flag. So I've got a couple examples for you. The IRS will take 70% of your IRA when you die. That's not true, with the exception of a very narrow, unlikely scenario. In order for that to happen, your IRA would have to be subject to both income tax and estate tax. All right, well, in order for that to happen, at the time of the show, because we're going to put it in the archive, and so it'll be out there, to the time of the taping of this show, the estate tax exemption is $5,250,000 for 2013. So that means that you would have to have a lot more than that for your estate to be subject to a 30% or 40% bracket. And you would have to have made the mistake of leaving your IRA, the beneficiary, to your estate, not to an individual like your spouse or somebody else like that, where they would be able to roll it over and not pay tax on it right away. So if you've got over $5 million and you don't have an advisor who's helped you properly designate, that's a pretty extraordinary and extremely narrow group of people, like two in the state of Florida. So I find that very scare tactic. Here's another one. Learn how you can earn 6% guaranteed. Not true, not true, not true. Doesn't exist on the planet. There's no such thing. There, I said it. There's nothing. There's a bond paying 6%, probably somewhere. But not without risk. That's not guaranteed. What if the company goes under? Okay? So be careful. And here's my favorite. Ready? I see this one sometimes. It makes my skin crawl and my blood boil. Get stock market returns without risk. Impossible. Impossible, impossible, impossible. It does not exist. No investment can give you all the upside return while protecting you from the downside. Okay? So there are some things just to be on the lookout for with financial seminars. And we will do this. We're going to run to a break. We'll come back and give you more good shows. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great guest, very timely for you, and he's been on before, and I invited him back, and he's very busy right now, so he's squeezed 10 minutes of his time in for us. Tom Cloud is owner of Cloud Hard Assets. The website is cloudhardassets.com, and the telephone number, 800-247-2812. Tom, welcome to the program.
Dave, it's great to be back. Enjoyed our last bit.
Yeah, thank you so much for making time. I asked Tom, I said, are you busy? He says, I'm swamped. And Tom I'm going to let you do the proper introduction as to what you do, but Tom specializes in helping investors in precious metals and other concentrated forms of portable wealth. How's that?
That's pretty good. That's pretty close. For 37 years, I've been dealing in precious metals and diamonds, and with everything going on in the world the last 12 years, we've been busier than ever as people try to move a percentage of their assets into things that are accepted worldwide. And as you said, portable, we forget about portability, but diamonds have the greatest portability because of the weight and the value and the liquidity anywhere in the world. So we spend a lot of time on precious metals and diamonds, but certainly precious metals is the backbone of our business.
Well, and with regard to your being busier than ever, or at least, you know, is very solid for you, what do you think is driving that? Is it people just looking diversification? Are they looking for the potential of growth in the precious metals like gold and silver? Or is it a defensive hedge?
I think it's a defensive hedge, David. I talk to investors of all sizes and all walks of life, and basically they're just saying the dollar just, there's no possible way the dollar can be saved with the events of the last few days, raising debt ceilings, debt extending, printing another $1 trillion. The dollar has broken down, and we got a downgrade in the U.S. Treasury notes from the Chinese government, and now we have Fitch and S&P saying February 7th, they expect their second downgrade, and the dollar just has no future. And as soon as China's ready, and they're getting ready fast because they're buying 500 tons of gold a month to back their currency, they'll take over the petro currency, and there'll be a flood of liquidation of treasuries. And I think that's what drives, as I talk to money managers that refer clients to me, I'm talking about large accounts and all the way down to friends of my mother that I try to help out. Everybody knows the dollar is not going to be around, probably not going to finish out Obama's term. And that's where most of our clients are moving, and a percentage of their assets and things to get out of the dollar, and certainly with all the bad banking news coming out worldwide and the index drop of 6% in bank stocks last month and Bank of America getting kicked out of the industrial, 30 industrial, Dow Jones Industrial. We're seeing everything we've been talking about for 2 years. It's happening right before our eyes.
Well, let me ask you this, Tom, because this is a question a lot of people, you know, probably would like to ask of somebody who specializes in gold and the things that you do, as well as the precious metals and diamonds and things, is it seems like that whenever somebody is in, that's what they do, that's what they're promoting, they always have a very doom and gloom, a very negative, the world's going to end tomorrow, buy gold today. And at least that's what it seems like to me sometimes. What do you say to that?
Well, I think you're right. I think there are a lot of salesmen out there. I mean, the good thing about me being an economist and being in this business and since early 70s, I look at things, and yeah, I think there's terrible things going to happen to this country. You can't be out. When you get to $250 billion, of unfunded derivative liabilities, which we've just hit worldwide. I mean, you couldn't, the GDP of this country for 119 years pay off the debt, and the debt's getting worse by the minute. It is a doom and gloom scenario, and we have people that aren't very well qualified running the economic part of this country, and you can't keep printing money with nothing to back up a fiat currency when you look at not a history. Not one country in the history of the world has their currency ever survived when they went off of the gold standard, and we've been off the gold standard since 1971. So I know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
It's not that I disagree, but I'm not going to sell things because we hit cyclical things, and
right,
all different investments go up or down.
Well,
the outcome is very bad.
Yeah, and on that point, let's talk about it from the gold, from the standpoint, and I'm using gold as a surrogate for the other precious metals as well,
right.
But let's talk about, you know, gold is still or has been at historical lows, and, you know, when you look at gold, what do you say to people who look at it as not so much, you know, maybe they say, well, I'm not looking at it as much as a hedge defensively, or, you know, with the devaluation of the dollar, but more so looking at it just to round out their overall investment portfolio?
Well, I say you talk to your financial professional, you come up with a percentage. We have money managers, very well money managers, that have their clients anywhere from about 6 or 7% all the way up to 40.
Yeah.
And I don't make those decisions. What I do is work with the client,
right,
to get the kind of gold or silver that best suited for them. I think But I think the main thing, David, that people just tend to forget, if you go back 12 years, 13 years now, 2000, GO's gone from $256 up to $1,320 where it is as we do this interview. Here's something that's gone up 5.5 times, and the Dow Industrial during the same exact time frame is not even back to even. Mm-hmm. It's still 1% short of where it was 13 years ago. So, you know, the question that money managers say to me that use my services is, you know, I can't believe that every money manager in the world, you know, you could tell a client, I didn't recommend GO because whatever, but after 12 years of beating stocks up until this year, you know, you've got to look at a point where gold has to be a part of a portfolio.
Well,
so
and on that point,
comes
in fair,
down to what percentage, you know, is the client feel comfortable with? I mean,
right.
That's really the bottom line.
And on that point, in the spirit of fair disclosure, we, ladies and gentlemen, we do hold gold in certain portfolios at Holland Financial. So I just want to make sure people know that I'm not pumping gold or,
sure,
or promoting it, but it is something I do think for people that it can be a part of an overall diversified portfolio. So, you know, it's just like those sweet sugary cereals can be part of an overall well-balanced diet in the morning. You just shouldn't make it all of what you eat, because then you're going to have that crash. And the same is true whether you're investing all in stocks or all in gold or anything like that.
Right.
Now, Tom, I guess just as a general comment, if you just joined us, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Cloud's on the line with us, cloudheartassets.com. Tom is the owner of Cloud Heart Assets, 800-247-2812. And if somebody wants to, they can give you a call, Tom, and they can, if they want to get gold or they want some of the other precious metals or they want, you know, a diamond in their pocket, they can call you and you can work with them on the right gold or the right way to buy what they're looking for.
That's right. At a truly wholesale value, which you just don't find out there. I'm happy to do this. And after 37 years of doing it, you know, I've got a relationship with all the top wholesalers and distributors of gold, so we'll find the best deal for them if it's what they're trying to do. We see a lot of people buying silver now as a potential barter hedge if things do fall apart. And then with the news we got Wednesday that we're starting to see bail-ins in Europe again, where banks are taking deposits, it's really, really accelerated people buying silver this week. It's been a big week for silver because people want to have something in their hands. I mean, gold is great for preservation of wealth, but hard to take a $1,400 coin out and barter with it.
Yeah, can you make change for this?
Change for it, that's right.
Yeah, I'll take 47 chickens, please. I mean, you know,
right.
that's a little difficult to work with. That's, you make a good point in drawing a distinction between the different precious metals and what their purpose can be. Tom, I'm going to let you get back to your hard work over there at cloudheartassets.com. And Tom, I thank you for your time today.
I always enjoy being on with you, David. Anytime you need me, just let me know.
I will do that. And the number to reach Tom, if you want to talk about the gold and how he does that or any of the other precious metals, 800-247-2812. And the website, again, is cloudheartassets.com. I'm glad you've been with me on the program. Have a good day.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.